And welcome everybody to a special edition of True Bayou Sports Media Primetime. This is a special time of year where we, of course, welcome all of you who may have traveled north to Omaha and everybody, of course, watching from home. The LSU Tigers tonight will begin a journey to face off with the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers and begin their quest for an eighth program national title. It is going to be an amazing series. We will recap everything that has happened so far, plus what you need to know. We're going to, of course, talk about the opportunity that Coach Jay Johnson has to become the second non-Olympic sport coach to win multiple titles as a LSU Tiger head coach. Of course, he would join the stadium named after, and of course, king of LSU sports as far as coaches go, Skip Bertman. We'll talk about some of that and some of the other interesting history points that could be coming up here, and how this will be sort of the last college baseball World Series in its current format. These are some of the five things that I'll be letting you know about today, plus a little bit more here on this episode of True Bayou Sports Media Primetime. Let's go ahead and hit the intro. It is prime time on the True Bayou Sports Media Network. My name is Donald. I'm your host this and every week as we get you ready for another week of coverage of Bayou Region sports. If it's the New Orleans Saints, the LSU Tigers, New Orleans Pelicans, or your favorite team from across the region, from the Bayou City to the whole boot and through the Mississippi Sound, we get you ready for what's going down on the True Bayou Sports Media Network. All right, and welcome back. So today, as we mentioned, there are five major things that I'm going to really be getting into in this particular episode to discuss and to learn more about Coastal Carolina to get you prepared to face them, and some of the major things that I believe will be the determining factors whenever you look back at the end of this series and say, how did it go? I think we're going to go ahead and start with one of the major ones, which is slowing down Coastal Carolina's run support. They put up a College World Series high at the moment, 24 runs leading up to the championship final. That is a amount of scoring output that is going to be not impossible for LSU to match, as they certainly were able to do it in regional play and then even in super regional play to a degree. But it is something that they will have to be cognizant of, because while you have your best pitching out there, it is not the time to let the offense start to go into any deeper slumps than they may already be in. We've seen how Jay Johnson has gotten the lineup to be in its optimal state every game as we've gone into super regional play and beyond. And even players who may be in a bit of a hitting slump are not being kept in just for their fielding percentage. They're being rotated to get the best hitting lineup on the field at any certain time. And this is where it becomes critical if you look at how that's going to play into this. Coastal is a team that is not really going to just bomb it out the park, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in another point here. But one thing that you do have to your advantage, of course, on game one, as it has been announced, but we will obviously not know until the final lineup is presented, you have Cade Anderson, who's going to come out there, of course, the nation's leader in strikeouts, already put up a 11-1 season so far, and he's going to go ahead and give you your best chance to win in game one. You then assume Jay Johnson would save Anthony Ianson for game two, and then that leaves you with two of the nation's best pitchers in those first two games. We obviously know that's going to be the case, but that does not necessarily discount the fact that Coastal is changing their strategy, where they are debatably not throwing their hottest pitcher at the time, but debatably one of their better pitchers in Cameron Folke. And he is 8-1 on the season with a 3.29 ERA and has 109 strikeouts. Now compare that to Cade Anderson, of course, who has 170 strikeouts. A very different type of ball player, but still equally dangerous and should be respected. That's going to be where the offensive limitations come in when you look at these two pitchers primarily and what they're going to be able to do as the game progresses. Now, the second point today in our point of five things that will define this series is that the LSU bullpen is fresh. You know, we know that the two starting pitchers are on adequate rest, but to say that the bullpen is fresh is potentially even getting into a bit of an understatement in reality. Since the entire NCAA tournament started, no primary reliever, so that is the majority of the bullpen, has gone over a total of 7 innings work so far. You have a couple sitting at 6.2, and the rest have been used intermittently. So even if you had some type of a fluky situation where Ianson or Anderson do not get you their usual 7-plus innings of work, you have very fresh arms that you can go to, particularly if you get into a Game 3 series where, you know, you're maybe having to do something of a whole staff just to keep no repeating looks at these pitchers. I think that's going to be a critical point that could give you an advantage. You know, you take a look at how LSU has won these games. They've put up, in particularly in regional play, such a large lead that you didn't really need to worry about having to pull the pitcher, and you were able to preserve the bullpen. You think about moments where even, you know, a Cade Anderson may have given up 5 runs, but the team had already put up so much it wasn't necessarily a threat, so you got to preserve those innings for your bullpen. I think this is where that becomes critical. Of course, you would want the guys to be getting constant action, but at the same time, the fact that their arms are fresh, you don't have to worry about who you're going to have to go to, or you maybe going to have to go to somebody who's less experienced than you would like. I don't think that's going to be a major concern for the Tigers today, and that's going to be a major point in how they decide to go about this particular aspect of managing their staff and keeping, again, that Coastal Carolina team who leads in run support so far in this College World Series to a minimum. That's a very critical stat there. And number 3 today on the 5 defining things that will determine how this series goes is that, and we mentioned a little bit earlier, fielding is critical. Coastal Carolina does not rely on the long ball. They are a team that will put them around the base pass. They're very opportunistic, and they don't leave a lot sitting on the bases. So it's going to come down to some of those things. And we've seen moments where the LSU defense has cracked. You know, errors are not a large part of it, but sometimes you're taking certain fielder's choices. Sometimes you're deciding to go for one, not to get the double play. It's those types of things that will basically say, can we really shut this team down in an effective way? Is this the type of team that, you know, you're going to have to say, I'm not sure if I want to take the risk of leaving one on the base pass. I'm not sure if I want to take the risk of trying to go for two when I know I can take the lead runner down. Hey, we saw someone else try and do that, and how did it go for them? So it's those types of things that, of course, you're going to have to watch. You're going to have to be very cognizant of, and I think it's going to show itself in Game 1. You know, you think about Cade Anderson. He's not somebody who is necessarily going to not put people on the bases. Of course, he strikes out at a very prolific rate, which allows that to not be as much of an issue whenever you're able to, you know, have somebody on first and then come back and strike out the next 3 batters. It's those types of situations that play to your advantage, but at the same time could be something that does sort of show the crack in the armor. We'll have to see how that plays out, but you have to imagine with the way how the 8th inning went and so forth and so on in the Arkansas series in the semifinal, you know, maybe that's something that they worked on in these practices leading up to Saturday. So far, I'm very excited to see how they'll react, how they'll change things up, and be better prepared for the fact that the fielding is going to be such a critical part of this. But a critical part of course, any YouTube channel is the subscribers and anything that they do. So it is important that I ask you at this time to appease the algorithm, to join the community, to become bigger, and to join in everything we have going on at True Bayou Sports. Of course, it has been such a fun lead up here coming into this World Series and to get to cover a championship run and put all that together. You know, we see the comments, we see the interactions. Those of you on TikTok, don't forget you can always follow over there. You certainly have been. And on any of your social media or streaming platforms, wherever you like to listen to podcasts, I'm so thankful that you all have joined us this season. And it's going to be very exciting as we go into these final 2 games, maybe 3 if necessary. Just a fun opportunity to get to, again, enjoy the experience with others, to enjoy the experience with people who enjoy it the way you enjoy it. I think that's an important part of why you hit the follow button, why you subscribe, and of course, become a part of the larger True Bayou Sports Media community. But we still have 2 more topics here that we must cover when it comes to the critical things that will define the series for the LSU Tigers. And one of them is a unique thing that isn't so unique. You know, if you watched any of the Coastal broadcast going into the College World Series or in the College World Series, they make a such a point that they have a 6'8 pitcher. There's a 6'8 pitcher, you know. He presents things that people don't see. Well, that's where it gets a little bit different for LSU in the fact that you've been seeing a 6'8 pitcher since the season began, and he's on your own team. So this is where I think you have a unique advantage that some of the oddities of Coastal do not necessarily affect you in the way that it would affect anyone else. And I stress that any other team, you're just not seeing that many 6'8 pitchers that are elite with very high quality stuff walking around. But that is the case for LSU. You have these talents. And of course, if you don't know who we're referring to, it is none other than everyone's, I believe, favorite reliever at this point, Chase Shores. Don't forget, the guy has just come out and put so much effort, so much work. And that is where, you have to say, is that the thing that makes the difference? Is it the thing that finally can get you, a little bit of a relief, of a break? I don't know. I think it's because, particularly when you look at it this way, you're playing against a team who has Morrison, who is their 6'8 pitcher. Does Coastal Carolina not see the same effect for Chase Shores? And whenever this is, primarily your number one, number two guy off of the bench when it comes to pulling him out the bullpen, I think that could be something of a neutralizing factor. So it's one less advantage that Coastal may be used to having that just will be negated. And to be fair, if you put them head to head, who's the better 6'8 pitcher? The way how it's been in this College World Series, it's tough to tell. They're both very talented players, and I'm excited to see how they duel. But at the same time, it may be a situation where you're talking about, are you going to be able to win a series when it comes to Coastal not pitching him on night one? So, referring to Morrison. So, how LSU uses Chase Shores, Zach Cowan, and the rest of the guys in the bullpen will be very critical. I'm excited to see just the overall strategy behind it, the larger, kind of intentions that Jay Johnson has when it comes to his pitching staff. Does he mind taking a guy for, say, 3-4 innings in game one? Say, worst case scenario, you go to extra innings and you're in like the 12th inning. Do you mind running one of your relievers for 5 innings? Or do you want to preserve everybody and give everybody a chance? So far, Cason Evans is the only guy who is sort of not the big two, your 1A and 1B, that has gone any extended innings, and he's only pitched 11 innings total in the entire NCAA tournament. Beyond that, everyone else, like I've mentioned earlier in this list here, has not gone over 7. So extremely fresh. Nobody's really at risk here. Everybody's on at least 2 days rest. So it'll be very interesting to see how the Tigers take advantage of that. But, of course, we do have the one more topic that will be critical to the series, how it goes, how it ends up. And that is the fact that there is a need for the momentary swings, for the opportunities to swing the momentum, to create that true Alex Box North, that true just Omaha loves the Tigers, everybody gets behind them. And to ignite a crowd, of people, a lot of them that are either on the way there, have already arrived last night. Obviously, a big boost at Rocco's, cracking 30,000 on Friday night. Yet the Tigers have to know that this is not the series to concede an early loss. To say maybe you're down 3, you come out, you swing at trash in the 9th, and you say, that's okay, we'll get them tomorrow. I think this is the type of series where you have to keep the foot on the accelerator. You have to put all your effort into assuring victory and to not showing any cracks, because you really won't have the opportunity to sway a team like Coastal. Coastal, of course, as you will hear at an uncomfortable amount of times on the broadcast, that Coastal has not lost a game since April. Coastal is on a winning streak. Coastal has not felt what it's like to lose. They're undefeated in the NCAA tournament. You're going to hear this over and over and over again, which is why I don't berate it with you here. I'm cognizant of what you'll hear in national media, and I bring you something different. That's why we go to local media. It's those momentary swings. You think about, when Bear Jones had the opportunity to put one over the fence in the 8th and tie it up and keep you in the game. It's those types of moments that are translated and that are critical Because if you don't get that swing, do you have enough energy to push through the ninth? Do you have enough energy to overcome, you know, an just Arkansas crowd that was laying on top of you? Do you know that you can push them off? And that's what you're going to be seeing with Coastal. Coastal thinks that, and, you know, not to be in any way disparaging, they think that they deserve to be here. They think that they are rightfully in a place to, you know, say that we are supposed to be the favorite. We are supposed to be, you know, the leader. We've been disrespected. They feel as though, you know, you look at them, I think they were exceeded a little low. I know that Coastal's a good team. And, you know, even when we were talking about, you know, conference tournaments, I took Coastal. You can look it up, at least if you want to see what I've been putting my wagers on. By the way, LSU is quite the favorite if you want to lock that in. I think that this is a situation where Jay Johnson has been there before. Coastal, you know, will lean on the fact they won 8 years ago against Jay Johnson in 2016. And of course against LSU also in 2016 in super regional play. So they will lean on that experience, probably have those players in the clubhouse kind of giving them a little bit of pep talk saying, we did this before, let's do it again. Don't worry about these guys, blah, blah, blah. Honestly, I don't know if it'll translate. I don't know if it'll translate once, you know, you get out there and Cade Anderson gets to strike out 10 and, you know, maybe Milam puts him around the base path. I don't know if that translates anymore. I don't know if that feels the same. But I know for LSU, the entire program, as we heard on, of course, SVP's SportsCenter, the program's built a little different, you know, and that's what you have to lean on if you're LSU. It's the fact that you are designed and that you are sort of just intrinsically the team that knows it's their moment, that knows it's their opportunity. And that's been something that you've seen in the Jay Johnson era, is that there is no doubt that they're supposed to go handle business. Even in difficult situations like last year's regional at North Carolina, LSU still felt that they knew they were going to handle business and that they should have won that game. And that in any way has now put more fuel into this team to be that much more deadly and dangerous in this particular regional, in this particular super regional, and now in the College World Series final. This team has been a pleasure to watch. I'm excited to see what happens. I'm excited to see how it goes. Of course, we will know on Monday night one way or the other. I'll be, of course, giving you a full recap of the series, and I hope that you join me again. This has once again been your host, Donald, on True Bayou Sports Media Primetime, and we'll see you whenever everything settles and the Tigers will play quite the World Series, won't they? Thanks, everybody. This has been a True Bayou Media production. This show is for entertainment purposes only and does not render legal or financial advice. Remember to bet responsibly. Distribution of this podcast is prohibited without the express written consent of True Bayou Media or its subsidiaries. Thanks for being true by us. We can't wait until next time we keep it true by you.